Morning, everyone.
So it's from Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Matthew. So I'm going to talk a wee bit about, we read Psalm 84 about dwelling in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to talk a wee bit about that today. So I'd like to say before I start, this isn't where I am. This is on the journey where I'm hopefully going to. So please hear me. It's from a place of process. It's not from a place of being there. And I'm also very conscious of all the folk in this church that have been praying for the church. Iris and Glenn, they've been around since day one, virtually, Jackie. And they've been praying for this church. And we are here today because of the prayers of the foundations that these people have set. And I'm also very conscious that many people in here have prayed for me personally throughout the years, through thick and thin. So before I start, I just want to say thank you. So as I was thinking about today, I felt the Lord say he was giving us as church two golden keys, one key called love and the other key called presence. That's why Matthew read about the deep, the depth, the breadth and the width of the love of Christ. When we're in that place, we know the God who's able to do immeasurably more according to his work that is at power within us. So I'm going to read Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4, and this is what it says. Send me your light and your faithful care. Some versions say, send me your light and your faithful truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. So it's the place where God dwells. When God sends his light forth and his truth, it's not leading us to answers or to our own agenda. It's to the place where he dwells. It's to the place of God's presence. So praying first and foremost is about going into God's dwelling place, that place of intimacy with him, and praying from that place of presence, where our hearts connect to the Father's hearts, where we pray the Father's prayers and not our prayers or prayers that seem like a good idea to us. It's a place of surrender. It's a place where we lay down everything that is of us till all we are is his. Where we lay down our securities, we lay down our abilities, and the confession in our hearts is, Jesus, you are enough. It's where we seek first his kingdom, Matthew 6, verse 33, and all these things will be added. In our dwelling place, when we go into the dwelling place of the Father, we become so saturated with him that it bursts out of us and to those we encounter all over. It's where our hearts are changed. It's where we become changed from the very core of who we are as we meet the heart of the Father. Our fruitfulness and prayer comes out as an overflow of that place of intimacy, love, and presence with him. The dwelling place is a place of rest, where we know he is ours and he is his, where we know we are the beloved of the Lord. And really, in that place, nothing else matters. In the dwelling place, we hear God's voice. God's voice, our anchor. It keeps us strong. It keeps us confident. We hear what God wants us to pray, rather than what we think we should pray. And personally, I find when I go into the dwelling place of God, my prayers become very different from what my own good ideas are. Something that the Father has been highlighting to me over this last month or so is that prayer at times is a place of being still. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46. Over Christmas, I was away down south. We were in the country the whole time. I go big long walks with my brother, and we're very close. At times, we have big, long, deep chats, the kind you would want to have with God, actually. And at times, we're just still and silent with no need to talk to one another. We're just still and silent in one another's presence. And there's joy there, there's peace there, knowing that you're with your brother who loves you and you love your brother. So on one of those occasions, we were sitting by a river in the middle of nowhere, no sound of traffic, no sound of other people, just the sound of the birds singing and the river. And we were both sitting there in silence. And I heard the Father just prompt me, gentle prod, saying, I need you to do this with me. I need you to do this with me, Rebecca. Just sit with no agenda. Just sit and feel the breadth, the depth, the width of my love that surpasses understanding. Just do nothing. Just sit and be still. And I feel as church, God is calling us into that place of just sitting in his presence and being loved by him. And then everything we do comes out of overflow from that place. Everything we pray comes out of overflow of being in that place, of just sitting and being still and knowing we're loved by God and knowing that we love God. So there's a couple other areas of prayer that God has been prompting me. And one is praying scripture, praying the Bible, and thankfulness. So praying the Bible, we know it's the living and active word of God. We know throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, there's amazing prayers. And of course, Jesus is our ultimate example. So what I like to do is find a scripture that I feel God has led me to and just read it out loud. Read it out loud over church, insert church's name. Read it out loud over my family, insert their names, and just pray it out and declare it out over them. And as I said, we know it's the living and active word of God. Thankfulness. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 18 says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So effectively, it's like a prayer sandwich. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. And the Father, again, has really personally been prompting me that whatever you're praying for, I want you to give thanks. I want you to rejoice. Whatever that situation is, whatever that mountain feels like, I want you to sandwich that with rejoicing and with giving thanks. I want you to look at who I am, not at what the thing is you're praying for. Recently with the children, the last 2 weeks, we've done prayer, both weeks. And I must say, after coming away from those 2 weeks, I realise that I make things far too complicated at times when it comes to prayer. And God reminded me of the scripture in Luke 18, let little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom of God belongs to children and we should be like them. So one of the weeks we had an inflatable globe and the children laid hands on the globe and they were choosing what countries to pray for. And what really struck me was what they prayed was succinct. They just prayed what they needed to do, short and to the point, and that was that. But they were very powerful and they were very meaningful. And God's really been prompting me to do the same. Just do it, short and to the point, no long-windedness. And then the next week we discussed the Lord's Prayer. And again, there were really a number of comments that I went away this week and thought, oh, they've got so much to teach us. They've got so much to teach me. They have such a straightforward approach, but with a knowledge of who God is. And I personally find myself forgetting who God is and forgetting to have a straightforward approach. So let's, as church, pray from approach of how great our God is. So in finishing, a good number of years ago, maybe 9, 10 years ago, I saw a picture here during worship, which I shared with Alan. I don't know if you remember when you were at school, when they had the Roman armies that had, they held their shields up to the top and they held them all around. So there's a big barricade of protection. So what I saw that was in church. Apart from the difference was that we all had a shield, but our shields weren't all the same shape. Our shields were different shapes, but when we held them up, they fitted together like a puzzle. So together our shields complemented each other. Together our shields fitted together. And I feel in this season, the Father is encouraging us all to live in our unique anointing of who we are in this prayer journey. I might do it one way, but as you've seen from what Heather and Shona shared, we're all quite unique. And God is encouraging us to flow in our unique anointing. We're all created in his image and display a unique aspect of who God is. So just to encourage you, this is what we've shared that's been on our heart, but we really value what is on your heart too. So please come and share with us what God is speaking to you. Please come and tell us what God has been saying to you as we go on this prayer journey together. So in closing, I feel that God is weighing us as a church further and deeper into him than we've ever been before. Deep into his heart of love, deep into his heart of presence. To take time to be still and to be silent before him, where all our fruitfulness, our strength and our prayer flows from that intimacy with him. So